relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com. Bit of Steezy the Wind words takes me back. How did it get to be the third hour? It is, but that's okay, because it's that special time of the week when we connect to the West Coast, to the person who's holding the line for us with a merry band of freedom fighters. She is Jennifer Horn. And she is holding the light of freedom alight. Follow her on Twitter at Jennifer Horn, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show on AM 590, AM 870 of The Answer. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. How are you feeling?
I was feeling great yesterday, and because I found the one painkiller that can affect the post-surgery most powerfully. And then I was prancing around without my crutches, and then my wife saw me. And she said, "What are you doing? Do you want to go back to the surgery?"
I hope she laid the smackdown on you. That's ridiculous.
The smackdown came when my son, who had knee surgery 2 years ago, texted us and said, "That hypocrite. When I had knee surgery, he forced me not to leave my room with my brace and my crutches. And what is he doing dancing around a few days after his knee surgery?" So when your 21-year-old son says that, it's a gut punch. So
it brings you back. Oh, well, it's much easier to dole out advice than take it yourself. So.
Oh, isn't it? So now I actually didn't take that painkiller today. So I'm feeling it, and so, you know, my anesthesiologist, a delightful chap who ran a pain management clinic here, said, "We like pain because it means you're still alive." I'm not sure I fully subscribe to that, especially since my back is pain-free thanks to Relief Factor, but I'm a few days out of knee surgery, but I don't sacrifice the show. And we must reconnect with Jennifer every single week. Thank you for being with us. We've got some amazing stories to discuss. Can we get super, super serious at the beginning and then we'll lighten
Please.
It a little bit? Okay,
Absolutely. So
we need to know every single day. I'm getting texts on our patriotmobile.com text line. People are calling in. People are sending DMs. Somebody who I know personally, CPAC. CPAC started today. We were next to each other at CPAC 2 years ago doing a book signing session, and it's Philip Haney, the Obama-era whistleblower who died in California. Can you give us any update, this strange story of a self-inflicted gun wound? I hate conspiracy theories, but you were there in California. What can we know so far about what happened to that great man, Phil Haney?
Seb, this story, it kind of gut punched all of us. You know, Philip Haney was a frequent guest on the Jen and Don Show, which airs on AM 590, The Answer, in San Bernardino and the Inland Empire. And in fact, we met him in very much the same way that I met you, through the national security circles. And he came on our program in 2016 because he had this incredible story, which we can talk about in just a few minutes. He had this story about Tashfeen Malik and Syed Farouk, who were the shooters, the terrorists who shot up the Inland Regional Center in December of 2015. And part of Philip's story as a whistleblower was that he recognized Tashfeen Malik when he was watching news coverage of the terrorist shooting and realized that this was one of the terrorists that he was forced at the Department of Homeland Security under President Obama to delete from a database. And it was Philip's belief that the shooting in San Bernardino and the terrorist attack in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub, both of those events would have been prevented had the Obama administration actually done what they were supposed to do. And we can talk about that in a minute, because I think it's important to carry on the work of Philip Haney. But the story over the weekend, I was at spring training with my family, and my partner Don Dix texted me and said, Philip's dead. Apparently, he was found on the side of the road, Highway 16 and 124, near a very small town. And when I say
not in a vehicle?
He was outside. He was actually on the side of the road outside of his vehicle. His vehicle was there. This is in Amador County. So kind of in the center to the northern part of California, really small town. He had one gunshot wound, and the gun was on, was there. They had the gun there as well, but it was on the side of the road with the body. And originally, the police there, the county sheriff's office, called this a suicide, and they kind of put it to bed. But then they said no, that they were actually continuing the investigation because of the location of the bullet. The bullet was actually in the midsection. And Philip Haney was sort of an expert in this. And that's not exactly, if you know anything about guns, that's not exactly where you would shoot yourself. And I'm with you. I love a good conspiracy to talk about it, but I am not a conspiracy theorist whatsoever. But when you start digging around into this story, there are some questions that need to be answered. Philip Haney, according to multiple people that knew him, including my friend Don Dix, said that he was actually going to work for the Trump administration.
Going back to the DHS.
He had a new book that was getting ready to be published. And if you know anything about Philip Haney, and I know you do, he was a devout Christian. This was not something that people would believe he would do. He was also not depressed. Now, there are some reports that maybe he had an altercation with a neighbor of his. Maybe that had something to do with it. But certainly this seemed a bit weird. Glenn Beck actually knows Philip Haney as well, our colleague, and he was talking about this story. And he asked if law enforcement in that area looked for the thumb drive that Philip Haney carried around his neck, because he had so many important documents and he had so much information on everybody that he carried this thumb drive with him. And in every news report that I've scoured through over the last several days, I haven't found anybody that has said anything about that thumb drive that Philip Haney always kept with him, that he kept close to him in case something like this happened. He was also on a podcast back in 2017 where he said that he would never commit suicide, and that his life had been threatened. He had been threatened not only by the government, by different Islamic groups as well.
Of course.
And he said that suicide was not an option for him. So there's a lot of stuff here that is making a lot of people, his friends, people in conservative circles, say, wait a second, could this have been something that he had known? Was there something else going on here? And Philip Haney knew a lot. I mean, when we talk about President Trump and we talk about the deep state, we talk about your friend, General Michael Flynn, there are a lot of people who have been targeted by the government, by the deep state, for just knowing too much or for disrupting, for just, you know, throwing off the apple cart, essentially. And Philip Haney was one of those people. He's a founding member of the Department of Homeland Security. I know you know that, of DHS.
He was a walking database on terrorism.
He really was. And the DOJ, not only were there internal investigations into Philip Haney when he started talking and calling out the Obama administration, but the DOJ actually targeted him with a criminal probe. I mean, where have we heard this story before? It seems it's on repeat now in the mainstream news media and in the talk radio circles, that this is how the government and the deep state operates. And he called out a lot. His book is really kind of interesting. See Something, Say Nothing is the name of his book. And remember, he called out Obama and the Obama administration as radical in its defense of Muslim supremacists. He said that they had the information that could have stopped not only San Bernardino and the Orlando terror attack, but they had a lot of information on the Boston bombers as well. And he also claimed that the Obama administration had given information to front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood. He said he was instructed to destroy evidence and databases. He had evidence to back this up and to prove it. And he also said that Obama would repeat talking points from ISIS itself. He said after the Paris attack, back in November of 2015 that when ISIS said that they had nothing to do with Islam, President Obama was out there the next day repeating that same talking point about ISIS. So he had a lot of information, and there were a lot of people, surely, that took issue with this person. Now, I never want to jump to conclusions. I don't know if that was the case here, but certainly his work needs to be carried on, number one.
Yes.
And we need to make sure we continue to give light to his story. But there needs to be more information, and it seems that the Sheriff's Department there is actually continuing to look at this. And they've taken back the fact that they think that this was a self-inflicted gun wound.
Is there anything we know about where he was found? Is there any connection between Phil and that part of California?
It's where he lived, actually. He was really in the middle of nowhere. He wasn't too far from home.
But he was on, he was, so no vehicle, he'd walked to where? Or,
no, there was a vehicle, but he had been pulled out, or he was outside,
oh, he was outside
of the vehicle.
Of the vehicle.
Yeah, the body was found outside of the vehicle with the firearm.
Fascinating. I had no idea that you had that connection to Phil. That really helps us to get as much information as we can at this time. Again, this is not how one kills oneself if you know anything about weapons. So a shot,
especially someone as well educated,
right,
and trained as,
right,
him, that's not a place that you would go if you're trying, right, to kill yourself.
Unless there's an accidental discharge. So if
that's,
if
right,
if there's an ND, if there's a negligent discharge before you're trying to kill yourself, that is a possible scenario. But I'm glad that the authorities are reassessing. We're going to continue our discussion on matters Californian and national with Jennifer Horn. Follow her right now, Jennifer Horn. She's with CRNTalk.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
It's Ash Wednesday. Easter has officially begun. What an incredible 3.5 years it's been. Now it's time to give back, and I can provide you the easiest way to be a missionary from the comfort of your home or your office right now with our Feed the Starving Families Food for the Poor campaign. We're doing incredibly in America, thanks to Donald Trump. The economy is the strongest it's ever been. We are safe, but there are families, there are children not far from our nation who are suffering right now. Just listen to Alice Marino of Food for the Poor.
Because you can make a difference with just so little. So little goes such a long way. And, you know, God will reward you. And you're going to feel so good about changing the life of a child. So please go online or go on the phone right now and make that difference.
I'd like to ask you to help me help a child right now in Guatemala. For just $80, you would provide food and clean drinking water for a whole year to one of these benighted children. A donation of $320, less than $28 a month, would provide food, sustenance, water for a whole family of four. And all it takes is for you to go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Feed Starving Families banner. If you prefer, you can call them at 855-330-HOPE. That number is 855-330-4673, the Food for the Poor, or you go to my website, sebgorka.com, sebgorka.com, and click on the Feed Starving Families banner. Easter has begun. It is the most important season, holy time for those of the Christian faith. Let's help individuals, children, less fortunate than us. It's that time of the week. We always talk to Jennifer Horn. And Jennifer, we have to discuss the debate. We have to discuss some breaking news out of California. But first, there's a person who allegedly is Nancy Pelosi's nephew. Somebody called him Governor Nuisance on my show recently. I like that. And this is a little soundbite from Governor Nuisance. And I just want to know, how is California reacting? Governor Newsom or Nuisance? Cut 12.
Healthcare and housing can no longer be divorced. After all, what's more fundamental to a person's well-being than a roof over their head? Doctors should be able to write prescriptions for housing the same way they do for insulin and antibiotics.
Is this guy just a loony? Are we going to, I mean, does he really think that you're going to go to the, you know, the Walgreens and you're going to say, I'd like a 3-bedroom with a swimming pool? I mean,
wouldn't that be nice? I'm into that. That's the kind of prescription I'll take any day of the week.
But what is that's from the state address by the governor. What is the reaction amongst Californians, Jennifer Horn?
It's because liberals and the left want to throw money at the problem. They want to raise taxes. They want to throw money at the problem. And then they shrug their shoulders when the homeless problem continues to skyrocket. You know, you said it, Gavin Newsom. My partner, Brian Whitman, on The Morning Answer calls him Gavin Gruesome. And I think both of those names
are apropos. What? The lovable liberal calls him Gruesome?
Not a fan. He's even actually supported with me the recall effort of Gavin Newsom, and even more than Gavin Newsom, the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti. We had Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, who's now a surrogate for Michael Bloomberg, and he is the former mayor of Los Angeles. And he told us that homelessness has gone up 60% since Mayor Garcetti has been in office. Now, Mayor Garcetti, yeah. And that, I mean, that's like a 5-year period. This is Mayor Garcetti and Gavin Newsom are in cahoots on this housing issue. And it's not a joke. This is not a deep fake. When you hear Gavin Newsom, who stood up and did his State of the State address last week and said that that homeless people can get a prescription for housing, and that's how it should be in California, because I can tell you the middle class and the upper class are not going to get free housing handed to them from the government.
Right.
They're avoiding the problem. They're avoiding the problem. They're avoiding triaging the issues, which are the people that are on the streets are choosing to be on the streets. They are choosing to not have shelter over their head. There's plenty of housing in California. Now, we can have a conversation all day long about making it more affordable to live in the state. I'd love to engage in that. But the truth is that the housing is there. The charitable foundations, the churches are all there, willing to take people in. And people are choosing. They're making the choice because they're not in the right frame of mind, because many times at the same time, they're suffering from mental illness, which they're then treating with drugs. And the two go hand in hand. And you've got people who are really suffering, and we're walking on, carrying on with our lives and letting people die on the streets. It's
But is
this
stuff popular? Does this stuff resonate with voters?
Because liberals think the answer is to, instead of giving someone a hand up, the answer is to give someone a handout. And unfortunately, the mentality in the state of California, not by everybody, there are still pockets and there are still people who believe in helping people get out of the hole that they're in so that they can become functional members of society. But, you know, it's almost like progressives like keeping them there because they can keep them under government control. I mean, it's all we heard in the debates is that Bernie Sanders wants your child care to be government mandated. He wants education. He wants everything to have government's hands in it. And this is the message that we're getting from the far left. And Gavin Newsom is certainly on the far left. There's nothing moderate about him.
Right. No, absolutely. We talked to Jennifer Horn. We've got a minute and a half left. There is some good news, though. It's from New York, but it applies to California. Talk to us about this story from Fox 11, a court decision that will affect Californians and hopefully make them safer, no?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is great news. And it's a story that we've been talking about where the state of California has been battling it out in court with the Trump administration about whether or not the administration can hold back federal dollars if the state of California continues to be a sanctuary state, or if the cities within California continue to operate under sanctuary mentality. And now the court says that the administration can withhold funds and play a little hardball with places like Los Angeles and San Francisco if they're going to continue to not cooperate with ICE agents and federal immigration officials. This is great news, Seb, because guess what? Eric Garcetti, Gavin Newsom, Alex Pitti, all of these people in California, all the leadership should be thankful, because if they continue not to cooperate with the federal government, Don't you think we should go after them for harboring a fugitive? I mean, if you held someone in your house,
aiding and abetting.
Right? They're aiding and abetting. I mean, if you held someone that was wanted by the feds, you'd get in trouble. I think we need to start going after the heads of all of the major cities in California for the same crime.
I'm with you, as is anybody who has an iota of common sense in them. She is the host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show, one of the hardest working people in radio in America today. Check her out on AM 590 and AM 870, The Answer. And follow her right now on Twitter at Jennifer Horn. Back to your calls here on America First, the number 833-334-6752. That's 833-334-6752. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
I want to start by thanking Harvey Weinstein for organizing this amazing day. Harvey. This is possible because of Harvey. He is a wonderful human being, a good friend, and just a powerhouse. And the fact that he and his team took the time to make this happen for all of you should say something, not about me or about this place, but about you. All right? Everybody, we are here because of you.
That's Michelle Obama calling Harvey Weinstein a wonderful human being who just happens to have been convicted of the crime of rape. And don't tell me the elite, quote-unquote elite, didn't know. They knew. Articles have been written almost a decade ago where people were talking about his sexual predatory behavior. But at least he's going to prison now. Something almost as disturbing, just looking at my Twitter feed. Don't forget our text number here is 703-869-1262. That's our patriotmobile.com, the only conservative phone company out there, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Our text line is 703-869-1262. Saw a post, it's from my buddy, it's a retweet from The Bradford File, a great Twitter feed, The Bradford File. New Zealand transgender weightlifter Laurel Hubbard clinches two gold medals, obliterating the rest of the female field. And here are photographs of this. This is a man. This is a man who simply has long hair. And I just had to retweet it. This is not just unsporting. This isn't just unfair. This is utterly wrong. Could you imagine being a female sports professional? You've dedicated your life to your sport. And then along comes a man who's heavier than you, got higher testosterone levels, more muscle mass, changes his name to a female name, and just wipes you off the board. This is the insanity of the left, and we cannot let it stand. Let's go to you. You are the most important part of the show. I want to hear you sound off on everything that is happening in the world today. Let's stay on the topic of gruesome Newsom, Nancy Pelosi's nephew, who just happens to be the governor of California. Let's go to Jim in San Antonio, line one. What's your reaction, Jim, to this insanity?
It is insanity, Dr. Gorka. Hey, I would like to I'm going to have my doctor write me a prescription that's very specific. It's going to demand that I live in the governor's mansion in Sacramento immediately.
I like it. You're going to have accurate. You're going to have mental problems, PTSD, if you're not in the governor's mansion, right, Jim?
Exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen. So I've got to have the mansion right now.
Bingo. Give it a try. I think you need to give it a try. That is a lovely suggestion. I think more of you should do that. I think it's a fabulous idea. Thank you, Jim. Let's go to Peter, also on this issue. Peter in line three, also in California. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Gruesome. Hi.
Were you going to call me Dr. Gruesome there?
I was going to refer to Gavin to Gruesome Newsom, you know, the relative of Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
The terror upper of things instead of creating things.
Good point. You've got 60 seconds. Share your thoughts, Peter.
They're actually manufacturing this housing crisis because it's a big business. They're not limiting the problem. Anybody can come from anywhere in the country, say they're homeless, and get free resources that I have to pay for and you have to pay for.
Yes.
Secondly, they're not building affordable housing. A house costs $750,000 a condo to build in San Francisco. Wow. They don't want to solve the crisis. They want it to get worse. That way they can administer it, then they can create hysteria, then they can steal the property of mom-and-pop landlords by enacting owner
You know, I think what you've just identified
exactly
is
what
this
they're doing.
This is genius, Peter. This is like a state-level and a city-level version of the Cloud Piven plan. Create so much catastrophe and crisis that you have to come in and government has to be given more power. Yeah, I think it's a sound hypothesis. Create disturbances so that you have to claim control and that you get more power. Well done, my friend. Well done, Peter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Back to your calls in a moment. We are broadcasting from the mobile undisclosed location, relieffactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is pain relief that works, pain relief that's natural, and pain relief that has no negative side effects. I am now 14 months pain-free. My lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade, is gone and left me just 2 weeks after I started taking Relief Factor. That's the experience of tens of thousands of you right now. Go and see the incredible video testimonials at relieffactor.com and then take the easy step. It's so simple to find out if Relief Factor can work for you like it works for me by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day to find out if you are the next success story. And I guarantee you, if you take Relief Factor morning and evening, as do I, by the end of 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. You deserve it. Do it now.
No violence, no hate speech, just happy warriors on America First.
We try and do several things here in America First. We give you the breaking news. We give you the real story behind the fake news stories. And then we give you access like nobody else can give you access. And the question I get asked most often is, what's he really like? Who's the real Donald Trump? To answer that question, here's a little sneak. Here's a little extract from my new book, The War for America's Soul, on who President Donald Trump really is.
The ascendancy of a total political outsider to the highest position in the land represents a grave threat to the vested interests of the establishment elite on both sides of the political aisle, left and right. The fact that Donald Trump defeated the left's anointed candidate, Hillary Clinton, and at the same time vanquished a field of 16 Republican candidates who themselves were mostly representatives of the establishment class, representing a largely liberal bipartisan consensus, is remarkable. Add on to this that as a self-made billionaire, Donald Trump owes nothing to the political donor class. No president in our lifetime, not even Ronald Reagan, has been more independent, less influenced, or controlled by the political establishment that believes it knows best and should make all the key decisions for the American people. It was the arrogance and, frankly, the ignorance of the American political establishment that sparked the populist revolution that elected President Trump. That establishment was finally being held to account for its massive failures and its betrayal of the American people and our national interests for decades. Here, we need not fancy political science theories or polling data on the evolution of political attitudes across the nation. Instead, I will share with you the story of one young man who, though he is no supporter of the president's, through his life and through the vicissitudes his family have had to endure, perfectly illustrates our betrayal by the establishment and why the outcome of Election Day, November 8, 2016, was even possible. His background was as difficult as one can imagine. His grandmother once doused his grandfather in gasoline and set him alight. His mother was a drug addict, and his father would always be a stranger. Yet, he would become a U.S. Marine, and his autobiography would become a national phenomenon. Of course, I am talking about J.D. Vance, the author of the best-selling Hillbilly Elegy. If you've never read Vance's book, right about now you're saying to yourself, why is Gorka including in his book on the cultural civil war gripping America a chapter on some self-professed hillbilly made good? Bear with me. Donald Trump defeated all comers to win the greatest contest in his life, in large part because he connected with so-called flyover America and with all types of Americans, including me, despite my initial reservations. Remember, I was born in London. My parents might have been refugees from Central Europe, but I went through the British education system with all it had to offer during the glorious years under Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. I had 13 years with the Benedictines at a private school, studying Shakespeare, the royal history of the British Empire, reciting Latin declensions, joining the debating society, playing cricket and rugby, developing a stiff upper lip, and then heading off to London University to read philosophy and theology. As a result, when I received the phone call to come meet the reality TV show star from Queens to help him prepare on national security issues for the Republican debate, it was not the call I was expecting. Nor did I expect to connect with a man who clearly was very different in style and manner to what I had grown accustomed to in England. But I did. Not only did I connect with the brash billionaire businessman, but once I came to work for him in the White House, I would get to see firsthand the preternatural way he connects with people of all backgrounds, especially people who were lifelong working-class Democrat voters, such as the salt of the earth, forgotten men and women of Pennsylvania or Michigan or Wisconsin. Take a moment. Rack your brains. Just try and think of another person today who can, on the one hand, so empathetically connect with a legal immigrant from Europe, classically schooled, who taught strategy to the military for a living, while on the other hand, expressing the thoughts, hopes, and desires of an unemployed steel worker from the Steel Valley of Ohio. See what I mean? That is so very, very rare an ability. Ronald Reagan could do it, but Jeb Bush certainly couldn't. nor could Ted Cruz or John Kasich. And Hillary Clinton never would, no matter how hard she tried. So how did he do it? How did the billionaire win over the heart of real America against the desires and expectations of the establishment and the so-called coastal elite? Here, I must turn back to Mr. Vance's story, because hillbilly elegy is the clearest expression of what the left's war on America's soul did to our nation.
Days away from the election that could be the final straw and could break the Democrat Party, and they finally have to look in the mirror and say, okay, enough with the crazy. It's up to us, guys. That's why we're here in America First. We are in a culture war, and I'm happy to be on the front line with great buddies like Matt Boyle. Check his writings out every single day at Breitbart.com and tag him on Twitter, mboyle1. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you haven't read it, read Andrew Breitbart's autobiography. It is incredible. Righteous Indignation. Chapter 6 is one of the most important things you'll ever read, and it was the stimulus.
Back with your calls on 833-334-6752. In the meantime, have you taken your balance of nature today? What do you mean you haven't ordered it? Order it right now. You'll get 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order of balanceofnature.com. I take it every single day. It is the equivalent, just six little capsules, the equivalent of 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Nobody eats that healthily, but you could by taking balanceofnature.com. And if you order it using my name, I forgot to mention the secret code. You've got to mention G-O-R-K-A. When you go to balanceofnature.com for 35% off your first preferred order, or you can call them at 1-800-246-8751. Super easy number, 1-800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com, but you've got to use the secret code G-O-R-K-A. Back with your calls and texts here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Killian, don't knock over my microphone stand. That won't work. I think he's getting a bit impatient after 3 hours. What a good boy. Sit, Killian. Other people who are very good and we like are you our callers. And also, I'm going to have to call a new category out. The texters. Two amazing texts. People who've been listening to Jennifer Horn's segment. This is from Jonathan B. Jennifer Horn's commentary about the homeless epidemic in Los Angeles. Here's my take. I've noticed that with most left-leaning assistance programs that emphasize, the emphasis is usually all about getting more and more assistance. Yet there is hardly ever a plan or emphasis on getting off assistance, being independent and self-sufficient. I don't think that is by mistake. Rather, I think it's by design, because the more people are on and are brainwashed that they need assistance, then the more power and control the politicians who sponsor these programs have over the people. Bingo, Jonathan B., California, you nailed it. There's also another incredible one. How about this? This is the best text of the day. It's from Rick in Casper, Wyoming. May I point out that once upon a time, doctors were able to write scripts for housing. It was called involuntary commitment to a sanatorium. The thundering irony is that it was the California liberals who outlawed the practice and created the bulk of the problem in the first place. I'm sorry, guys. We may only have been in the radio business for 14 months, but we have the best callers. And now I'm going to say the best
texters. God bless you all, and thank you to Patriot Mobile for our text line, the number that you can text me on any hour of the day or night, 703-869-1262. And don't forget, please, if you haven't done so already, join us. Come to Israel this December 2nd to December 10th for the trip of a lifetime. It's the Stand with Israel 2020 tour, and it's going to be with me and the great Mike Lindell. We're going to travel to 40 different sites of cultural, historic, and spiritual significance. The Great Wall. We're going to see the ancient city of Jerusalem, the modern city of Tel Aviv, the Wailing Wall, the Sea of Galilee. Go to my website right now, sebgorka.com, and click on the Stand with Israel 2020 tour and travel with us to the Holy Land later this year. sebgorka.com. Don't miss it. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Stay frosty, my friends. Next time, it'll be CMAC.